I believe God's been speaking this morning through familiar voices. As we pray for one another, as we worship God together, even from the prayer time this morning. Just want to say good morning, welcome. I stand in front of the mirror this morning with my purple shirt on, and I don't know why I said it, but I was like, good morning, everyone. And I was practicing being so happy, and so I'm saying good morning, everyone. Happy birthday, Carl. It's great. I don't celebrate birthdays because we'd be doing it every week, but I just happen to know it's your birthday today. You're a good man. If you're free, I want to take you for lunch today. I was going to ask you before the service, but you can pray about it and let me know. Anyhow, this morning, Russell and I are going to do a, well, not together this morning, but we want to talk a little bit church planting 101, kind of why we're here as a church. What's the point? And so it's not a new message, but I pray that God would stir something in your spirit this morning again. As we, you know, as Rick and Nell last week were sharing about a new season. And like he said, it's cliche, everybody says it and whatever, but he really felt it is a new season. And so we're saying, okay, Lord, speak to us. We'll fast, we'll pray, we will ask God to speak, break things open. As we're, as Toby, is Toby gone? She might have gone with the kids. I was going to give her a standing ovation this morning. We'll do it later. I heard that she came with five kids this morning to practice at 8 o'clock. If you do that, bring five kids at 8 o'clock to practice with your husband, we'll give you a standing ovation. Yeah, bless her. But just to celebrate what the church is about and why we come together. So that's my plan this morning, to worship through the Word of God, to listen to the Word of God. And Rachel, I heard you were broken into this week. Your car. No, not you. Rochelle. That's why. Okay. You're sitting too close together here. Yeah. Everything okay? Did you get your skates replaced? Not yet. How much are skates? Tell me, how much are they? Yours are crazy. We'll talk after. No, the devil's a liar. We'll put a basket out here or something. I hear a phone ringing. It's the President of the United States calling somebody. I know there's important calls going on there. I remember when we first got our cell phones, and everybody, that was a brand new thing. They're about that big, and you're so happy if you got a phone call. Just a second here. I got to take this, and it's your mother. Hello. Okay, Mom. Yeah, I had to deal with some stuff. Are you happy this morning? It's good to talk about money sometimes. Not because we're needy, but because it's good for you and it's good for me to learn to be generous and to give. Amen? Yeah. So if you're visiting, you're going to say, man, this church, that's all they're ever talking about. No, it isn't. We don't talk about it except to thank God and to challenge and encourage people. So please turn to the book of Ephesians this morning. I have 3 points and a poem, the typical pastor's message. But I want to challenge you this morning from the Word of God and encourage you, I hope, around the local church. So first of all, you can see my first point up there, but turn to Ephesians chapter 1, 19, 20, 21, 22. I just want to read a couple of verses, and then I'm going to jump around. I'm going to go through these verses in Ephesians. But it says this in verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything. And of course, he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about him being raised from the dead and the Father placing him over everything, head of everything for the church, which is his body, which is the fullness of him. You know, if you just follow through what's going on there, it's the first point I want to make, and I'm going to keep it as simple as I can. We are his body. He is the head. And I could preach a whole series on the lordship of Christ and what it means to submit to him and what it means to have him as Lord of our life. And as we're celebrating communion, we can only surrender to Him who loves us that much that He gave His life for us. We choose to be His servants. We choose to come to Him. And the privilege of being called the children of God, part of His family. But we are His body. And so the thought that I wanted to just hit you with this morning is, what's His body doing? If we are His fullness in the earth, we are His body. What are we doing? Where has His body been this week, last week? What have we got the body of Christ mixed up in? You know, every one of us represents Jesus with our entire life. Amen? And so I'm challenging you to walk worthy of the calling, worthy of who you are in Christ. I'm talking to us, all of us. Do we represent our head, our Lord, well? Amen? That's the first point. It's like, man, sometimes when I think what we do and how we do things and how we speak and where we go and, you know, the little Sunday school song, be careful little feet, careful little eyes, careful little hands. It's true. You represent Jesus. You represent this church everywhere, all times. You know, our prayer team little group that we prayed, we spoke of, and it was an exercise that was given to us, was to pray for someone specific outside the church and go and speak to them. And so I wrote on my paper, I'm sharing my testimony here, and it's not so good of a testimony yet. Lord willing, it's going to get there, was to speak to the lady at the till in our store near us, the Save-On near us. I have, according to my wife, I have not a good reputation. See, I can't even speak those things. It's still, of how I deal with people at the till. And so my challenge is to go to the lady at the till at the Save-On near my store and to speak to her and to be the body of Christ and to bring life. And so I have been going to the automatic checkouts. And I keep checking, is this the one? Is this the one? And I got a check in my spirit. No, that's a lie. I'm going to get there, and I'm going to share this amazing testimony, but I want it to be where they fall down on the floor, and they weep, and they get healed, and they're delivered, and hallelujah. But it'll probably be, she'd just ignore me and won't care if I want to pray for her, but it will be beautiful. But that's my point, is we represent the body of Jesus. We represent Jesus, and we represent one another. So as I said, wherever you go, you represent Christ, you represent this church, you represent us as leaders. We represent you. How we live matters. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So the second part of that is the fullness of Him everywhere. Are you fulfilling your part in the body? Speaks about the gifts of the Spirit. Speaks about everybody in this room has something to bring. And I imagined when I was talking about that walking like a wise father through the house, pointing out amazing people who have gifts. I'm going to back up over here. This couple, I spoke to you last week, and I you've been on my heart. I've been, you know, Herman and Yolani have deserted us, having, I love this present world. That's an inside story if you're visiting. And I can tell you honestly in my heart, I was like, but that's okay because we have Katie and Mark here. They're sitting on the second row. That's where Herman and Yolani were. That is like something prophetic right there. No, I'm serious. Your amazing daughters. If you don't know Mark and Katie, you got to spend time with them. He's not a talker guy, but we were in their life group a couple years back. We're connected somehow through marriage. My daughter's married to... Anyhow, you know how the story goes. You guys are amazing. Yeah. That's what I want to say. You're amazing. If you hear a story about his 4 years in the military, you hear about his studies, if you ever get a chance to talk to Mark and hear about his gift with electronics and life and his plans and his gadgets that he builds, and the Spirit of God. He's been to Bible college. This is a guy who's as big as this whole house. And I just want to encourage you guys, just speak. Just don't put yourselves down. Don't make little of yourselves. You're amazing. Is that okay? Really. I'm encouraging you. Bug them. Ask them. Get to know them. Challenge them. And here's another second row couple. Right here, Tim and Jolene. When we don't use our gifts and each part of the body doesn't do what God's called it to do, the whole place suffers. We're in this together. You're going to see my second point in a second here, but it's like being part of a body means every part. Nobody can say, I don't need the eyes. I don't need the heart. We need every one of you. And I see, anyhow, I won't even keep mentioning names, but everybody in this place. 6 o'clock this morning, Les is out here with a snowblower cleaning the whole parking lot. What's more important, Les or a keyboard player? Really? When the body functions, and those are just things for the church service, but just think about in the community. Think about all the lives that are touched by you people that I'll never see. The people that you minister to, that you're kind to, the store clerk, the students, the whatever. The ministries that you have as the body of Christ. We are the fullness. This was supposed to be a really short point, but we are the fullness of Christ. What does Jesus look like? Is he kind? Is he amazing? Is he loving? Does our hearts break for what breaks his heart? All those, I could preach this stuff all morning. He's Lord. He's our Lord. He's the head of the church. He's been given to us. He's Lord of everything. And we get that opportunity to serve him and to love him. And I want to be a good example of a follower of Jesus. So, are you fulfilling your part? The second verse, if I can just jump to another verse, is chapter 2, 19 to 22. He's talking about the church. You know, I have preached on Ephesians and gone through it. You know, the first chapters are the theological position we have in Christ. That's all my blue lines. You know, that he's called us and he's predestined us and adopted us and we have redemption and all those beautiful things. And then the second part is, for my little mind, I'd like to make it all yellow, and it's that we're called to be his church. He's the head of the church. And then verse 19 says, consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together, rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Hallelujah. So we're his body. Sorry, he's the head, we're his body. But then secondly, we can't live in a vacuum. Christianity cannot be lived out in a vacuum. What do I mean? Lived by ourselves. There's ability and responsibility together as a community. I wrote that in my Bible, I don't know, when I got this Bible. There's ability and responsibility of us being together. There's a reason God brings us together. I'll forget about my notes for a second. Let me just talk to you from my guts this morning. It was whatever that guy's name who left here, Herman, preaching a couple of weeks ago, talking about the three things. There's salvation, there's identity, and then there's purpose. If you remember, we are his workmanship. Of course you remember that powerful sermon from a couple of weeks ago. You never forget, right? But in there is the picture, and it's the words that's used. He says, we are his workmanship. Created, let me read the exact words so you believe me. Verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And if you just read through those verses, and I won't take a lot of time, the salvation part is you. You're saved. You are saved by grace. No one, you know, it's singular there. But as soon as he gets done with, you know, you are saved, then he starts talking about we and us. We were created for this. We are his workmanship to do good things that were prepared for us to do. We have an ability and a responsibility as a community coming together as a body, as citizens, as fellow citizens, as workers in Christ, all the members of his household, the holy temple being built up, a dwelling place for God. There all of a sudden, more happens when we come together. We have to live our Christian life. There's no grandchildren in the kingdom. You have to get saved. It's your faith that saves you. You have to walk with God. You have to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He has to be your Lord, you personally. But then as we come together, that is his plan, that we would be a body, that we would be a holy temple built up together, that we would be a family, that we would be the members of his household, preparing a dwelling place for him. Then there's stuff we can do. That's why we say, as we bring our offerings and we bring our abilities and we bring our gifts, it's far more important than what one person can do. You can worship God at home, of course. Lay on your sheets and worship God. But when we come together, we can do amazing things. Plant churches, change cities, send people, buy skates. Hallelujah. I know you're afraid to tell us how much your skates are, but don't be. We'll talk. I know she teaches skating, and you probably have $5,000 skates. I don't know what your skates are, but I don't care. It's like we can do stuff together that you cannot do on your own. And that's what Jesus' word, that's what Paul's telling us. Consequently, you are fellow citizens. You know, we all come together into this thing. And we are being built together to become a dwelling. We're doing this thing. I want to go back. Just let me read a couple of verses. Verse 4, but because of his great love for us, who is rich in mercy and made us alive in Christ, even when we are dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship. Do you hear what's going on? We need each other. We need to encourage each other. The body needs every part functioning, every part alive, in order for the body to be healthy. Let me get practical. We were created for community. God intends for you and me to work together, to love one another. That is so hard. That's why he says we have to love each other. Don't grow weary. Why? Because you get tired. You get weary. You think it's easy for Lori to love me for 42 years? Think about it. Think of the rewards in heaven. You laugh, but somebody's trying to love you too. Everyone belongs. This is what I'm trying to get to. Church has to be the place you belong, then you believe, then you behave. The church is the one place everyone belongs. No one needs to earn their place. Romans 12:5, each member belongs to all the others. Hebrews 8:10, this is our devotion this morning. It's amazing how old Nikki Gumbel agrees with me so many times. They will be my people. I will be their God, and they will be my people. God has put us in a community for a reason. We need it. We are built for it. We're called to worship him together. We're called to serve him together. We're called to do amazing exploits for God together. Yes, salvation is individual. Yes, you stand before God by yourself. That relationship has to be there. But we are called to do things together. The church is a body, it's a family, it's a community, all of that. Us and we, us and we, us and we. I want to read something. Again, it was this morning's devotional, so fresh. And that's why I'm saying, I felt like I should walk around. And I know it freaks people out because there's this line over here. But it's like, it's okay if I stand here, right? You're still okay. Not too close, a little bit spooky in your face. How are you guys doing? Good to see you. It says this, Mother Teresa, of all the people who I can quote this morning, loneliness and the feeling of being uncared for and unwanted are the greatest poverty. Loneliness is one of the greatest problems facing humanity today. The solitary human being is a contradiction in terms, writes Desmond Tutu. He continues, we are made for complementarity. We are created for a delicate network of relationships, of interdependence with our fellow human beings. We are created for that. We belong in one family, God's family, the human family. The greatest good is communal harmony. God does not intend for you to be lonely and isolated. Loneliness has been described as a homesickness for God. God created you for community, calling you into a loving relationship with Him and with other human beings. Hallelujah. You're not meant to live your Christian life in isolation. Nor am I. You're not meant to deal with the issues and the struggles and the challenges that you face on your own. How many times, even this week, I can tell you stories this week of people weeping on the phone and people ministering to them and going to them and taking food to them and helping them and financing a fixing of a car, of blessing. This, forget about last week, this week. Yeah. It's going on, and it's the body of Christ functioning, working as it's supposed to be. We want to do big things for God. That's why we want millions. If we make millions, I don't get millions. It's that we want to do stuff in the world. We want to touch Africa. We want to touch Canada. There's so many things that if I told you everything, I'll have to kill you. But God wants us to be involved in and doing. And again, I come back to it. It's not about money. It's about heart. We got enough people right here in this room. Jesus changed the world with 12. There's enough people right here. We need the heart. We need to stand together. We need to have that challenge of what is God calling us to do? What's He? And that's what we're asking for. What are we going to focus on? We can't do everything, but what can we do? So when we come together to pray and fast, it's not, it's about money, yeah, but it's about our heart for Christ, for His purpose, for His plan. Yeah. What we can do together. Yeah. Change things. Last thing. You know, that clock is 2 minutes off. So Russell said because of that, in dog years or whatever it is, I can take 20 extra minutes for every 2 minutes. Yeah, not really. The third one is the purpose of the church is to make God and His wisdom known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. Hallelujah. What is the eternal purpose that was accomplished in Christ? If you read in these chapters of Ephesians, he's talking about this mystery, this uncomprehendable, amazing thing that God kept and has now been revealed. He's talking about Christ coming, talking about the gospel, talking about grace. Paul's trying to explain that. He's trying to, whom he's been made an apostle of to teach and to preach. And he's talking to this church and he's challenging them that through his church, through his body, he's the head, we are to come together, and through his church, he makes known the manifold wisdom of God to principalities and powers. He shows himself to the devil. We were talking about in life group on Thursday, and let me put a plug in for life groups. It's a good time to be together and share and pray and talk about real life. But here's the picture that we came up with in Life Group, is that we have been translated from the domain of the devil to God's kingdom and to God's purposes. Amen? From darkness to light, from death to life, from hell to heaven, slaves of sin to slaves of righteousness. There's either God's kingdom or the other one. Amen? There's no in between. Which kingdom are you in? You got to know it. You got to make a choice where you're going to live and where you're going to spend your eternity. Dead or alive, darkness or light, heaven or hell, there's nothing in between. We are under the authority of the devil and the power of death, hell, and the grave. Or, as he says here, we have been set free. We have access to the Father. We are his children. And then through his church, we make him known to the world. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's our job. Yeah. And I want to be good at it. I want to be good at representing Jesus. Yeah. I want us to be good at it. And yeah, we mess up. And yeah, we do stupid things. At least some of you do. We mess up. But it's like, God, let our lives be an example of you and live for you and speak life and bring life everywhere we go. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. Would you come and join me? We were once under the authority of the devil, but not anymore. Not anymore. Again, I think it was our little devotions, but the example was of a violin string, one of these strings, like on a guitar, just laying there, useless. But when you put that thing into an instrument and you stretch the bejeebies out of it and you tune it, it becomes an amazing instrument. Amen? It's like, what's the train's name? Brewster the Train. That's the only train I could find. Brewster the Train. He falls off the tracks. You remember that story? He says, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. No, you're not. You're actually useless. You can't do what you're created for. But when he gets put back on the tracks, what we were created for, folks, was to come together as a family, as God's household, as a temple, as a place for him to dwell, for us to do amazing things for Christ, that we encourage one another. And when someone's strong, they help the other. When someone's weak, they bless the other. And they stand up for Jesus because they have support. They have family, they have brothers and sisters. So, I love that music. And I don't know whatever song you want to sing later, you sing and we can close. But here's how I pictured in my little puny brain this morning. It's Paul's prayer. After sharing all these things, Christ is given to us as head for the church. And we are his household and we are fellow citizens and we belong to him. And we have been given a job to do together, to show him to the world his manifold wisdom. The church, us together have been given this job. And then Paul prays this, verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So this is us. This is the whole family. I'm the father here this morning. I'm Paul the Apostle, walking among his family. And he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your innermost being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. That's my prayer for us as a church, that his glory, his power would be seen, would be manifest. Bless you.